Good morning. I'm Mark Settle reporting for KJAN News. Currently, we do have 18 degrees with a partly cloudy sky. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office received a call of a single vehicle rollover accident earlier this morning at the intersection of James Street and Holland Avenue in Stanton at the railroad crossing. Upon arrival, it was determined that a 2007 Chrysler Sebring owned and operated by 20-year-old Haley Lynn Limbrick of Shenandoah was traveling north on Holland Avenue when the driver attempted to turn into the railroad right-of-way, thinking it was a roadway. Vehicle lost control and struck the railroad tracks, causing the vehicle to roll over and come to rest back on its wheels, causing a property damage accident. Lambrick was uninjured and damage to the vehicle estimated at $6,000. She was also cited for possession of alcohol under legal age. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office was assisted by Stanton and Red Oak Fire and Rescue. After striking the vehicle, Lou then went onto the north shoulder and struck the cable barrier system. While Toplevic's vehicle came to stop in the outside lane, Toplevic was not injured, but Lou was taken to the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic for treatment of various injuries. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office would like the public's assistance in locating a stolen ATV vehicle. Sometime between the early evening hours of Thursday and 8 o'clock Friday morning, a green-yellow John Deere Gator 825J was stolen from the farm building site in the 2300 block of 230th Street, 1 mile west of Stanton. Anyone with information or the whereabouts of the green-yellow John Deere Gator 825J should contact the Sheriff's Office at 712-623-5107 or the Montgomery County Crime Stoppers 800-432-1001. Officials with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources say that the state's fur harvester season will begin today at 8 o'clock, with the hunters and trappers can expect to find significant increase in the raccoon population over last year. Other fur-bearing animals have a mixed outlook population-wise. Fur market outlook looks weak for raccoon pelts going into the season, while muskrat, coyote, and fox seem to be pretty decent, according to Vince Evelsizer, a fur bearer and wetland biologist with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. He says that time will tell if the market improves for raccoons later in the season. As he says, the harvest is highest during the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season and drops off significantly after Thanksgiving. The number of trappers has increased each of the past 4 years, topping 20,000 last year. And fur harvesters are reminded to work with their local DNR, contact with their sites tag, and collect the intact skull and complete lower jaw of otters and bobcats. Evelsizer says that fur harvesters should go through their equipment and brush up on the rules and regulations before they go out. Cass County Engineer Charles Marker on Friday discussed with the Board of Supervisors the projects his crews have been working on and those set to take place in the coming months. Marker says that the secondary roads crew has completed all the maintenance pipe projects that they had slated to complete this year, including two in the southern part of the county that were not planned for but found to be in need of replacement. Marker also says there are three bridge projects that were set to begin this year, but delays due to the wet weather meant putting the bid letting off until October 20th. One of those projects, of which the bids have been received, is the Cass County Landfill Road Bridge. As Marker says, that there were four bids for that project. Another bridge project is on the Cass-Montgomery County line, which was let on October 20th, also with six companies offering their bids. The third bridge project, which was by the Griswold Golf Course, is currently near the end of the design phase process and set for bid letting to occur in February of 2015, with another project under design to utilize metal from an older bridge during its construction. Bridge will be meeting the new heavier standard truck limits on bridges that are coming down from the federal government and state government. It could result in weight limits being lowered on bridges. While the weight limits are going up on the roads, the limits are being lowered for the bridges, which means heavier trucks cannot cross rural bridges in Cass and other area counties. Cass County Board of Supervisors met Friday morning in Atlantic for their regular end-of-month session. During the meeting, the board approved a motion pertaining to the filling of vacancy in the recorder's office with the upcoming resignation previously announced of Joyce Jensen, who is retiring. Under Dale Sunderman says the Code of Iowa spells out how the position is to be filled. As Sunderman says, it's too late for the matter to be placed on the general election ballot. The other option is to hold a special election to fill the office for the balance of the unexpired term. If Jensen had not resigned, Sunderman says the position would be filled January 2nd. Cass County Attorney Dan Feistner concurred with Sunderman's assessment of how the position should be filled. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman also reports all county auditor's offices must be open for at least 8 hours today until at least 5 p.m. for absentee voting and other election business. Cass County Auditor's Office will be open from 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. today. Monday will be the last day to request and vote an absentee ballot in person at the County Auditor's Office. Cass County Auditor's Office will be open from 8 until 5 p.m. on Monday. Three Iowa school districts have been notified that they'll be receiving grants to boost its literacy skills of students who don't speak English. Denison, Des Moines, and Postville school districts will be receiving the grants. Recipients were announced on Friday by the Iowa Department of Education, Brad Buck. The Iowa legislature approved the program, which provides $500,000 this year with the possibility of $1.5 million over 3 years. More than 25,000 English language learners enrolled in Iowa's public and non-public schools this year. Denison will focus on kindergarten through 12th grade, while Des Moines will partner with the Diocese of Des Moines to pilot a program for Carver Elementary and Hyatt Middle School and six non-public Catholic schools. Postville will be designing a kindergarten through 12 newcomer program. It's time to reclaim the hour of sleep that you lost last spring. Most of the United States will be turning back the clock this weekend for the annual shift back to standard time. For many, that means making the switch before hitting the sack this evening, even though the change does not become official until 2 o'clock Sunday local time. Public safety officials say it's also a good time to put in a new battery in your smoke alarm, no matter where you live. This daylight savings time will return 2 a.m. local time the second Sunday in March, which is March 8, 2015. Funeral notices for today on this Saturday. Mary Garst, 86, of Coon Rapids, died October 19th at her home. Funeral services for Mary Garst will be held 11 o'clock today in Coon Rapids at the American Legion Building. OD Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Neil C. Stork, 74, of Anita, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Neil Stork will be held 10:30 Monday, St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Sina Madsen, 95, of Omaha, passed away Thursday at Lakeside Hospital. His funeral services for Sina Madsen will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. Mafalda Jane Mackey, 93, of Guthrie Center, died Friday at the New Homestead. Memorial Mass for Mafalda Mackey will be held 10:30 Tuesday at the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Elaine A. Anderson, 92, of Elkhorn, formerly of Kimbleton, died Friday in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Elaine Anderson will be held Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. Larry D. Benkin, 77, of Osage Beach, Missouri, an Atlantic native, died Tuesday, October 28th at Lake Regional Health System in Osage Beach. Graveside services for Larry Benkin will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery, followed by a luncheon at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hedges Scott Funeral Home of Osage Beach, Missouri has the arrangements. Verla Ann Christensen, 80, of Fountain Hills, Arizona, and formerly of the Walnut and Atlantic areas, died October 24th at her home following a long illness. Memorial and Celebration of Life services for Verla Ann Christensen will be held 10 o'clock December 27th at the Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Fountain Hills. Janet Agin, 58, of Anita, passed away Friday at her home in Anita. Funeral services for Janet Agin are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care in Anita. KJAN News Time is 7:13.